I am also concerned about the many places in the code where they're supposed to be required to be neighborhood contact, but not required to have any response to that contact. And this bullet says that this code language is supposed to provide neighbors with the opportunity to give early input to developers on significant projects. If we don't do something, that bullet has no meaning. So I suggest that we have to put something in about a required neighborhood contact. We could even, since this is a particularly small set of properties in this particular plan district, we could require that the applicant make a presentation to council on their response to the input received. So at the very least, there's a public hearing where people could say, yes, they did respond, or no, they didn't. It wouldn't be a huge burden on the system to do that. I'm certainly wanting to work with Commissioner Leonard's office, with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement in the future, to see what else we can do to strengthen those and to avoid some of those ongoing controversies, which were 17 years that I've been involved, have definitely been a source of frustration. I'm inclined to support, if we can get the limitation on the expansion and the new development, because new development does come into this, and if we can put a neighborhood contact requirement in, I'm inclined to support it because of the economy right now and because we do need to stimulate, get things moving in this particular corridor, the whole corridor. And I, again, want to emphasize, this is a legislative change. It's not just about a particular building and a particular use in that building, and so we need to consider that.
Commissioner Leonard?
This was unique language in 2006, and I don't think I acknowledged my impression of it at the time, but I thought, with the background I had at the Bureau of Development Services and the angst neighborhoods have about development in their neighborhoods, I thought, wow, this is a template I want to use for other areas of the city. So I can't begin to describe how disappointed I am that we're having this discussion today, because in my view, this shouldn't be repealed. This should be fine-tuned and applied in other areas of the city. But with all due respect to each of my colleagues, each of whom I deeply respect for a variety of different reasons, replacing the language you have here with anything else dilutes notices and input from neighborhoods. And I would argue, the economy notwithstanding, that doesn't change what will happen on this site. Because this argument has been either or. Either you get the change that allow Gold Gym, or we leave the code as it is, you don't get it. And that is misleading and not accurate. The Bureau of Development Services has approved Gold Gym's going there. All that happened was a group of people appealed that decision to LUBA. And it came back to the city and said, just define what locally serving business is. We have done that. And with that language, they can go ahead and allow Gold Gym in there. By throwing out the baby with the bathwater, as this does, I honestly can't anymore believe that neighbors actually want to have true input into the decisions of how their neighborhoods look. I can't take that credibly, because this is the language that you use to do that. There's no other way to get there other than this language. To have input means you be able to object and have an appeal process where you can take your arguments to another level. I am not interested in sitting here and having developers come in and tell me what they're going to do to the neighborhood, and then sit here and look at the neighborhoods and go, gee, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that. But it was interesting. Thank you for coming. That's what will happen. I work with developers all the time. I know exactly what their mindset is. I'm not disrespecting that, but they have a business to run. They have money to make, and that's what they do. They're not out to be a charity. They're out to make money. And if they have to do a process to get to that, they'll do that. But they'll do what they have to do, and that's all. So with all due respect, I think it is a tremendous error for this council to repeal this. What I would recommend doing is, I agree, we've had three hearings. Let's vote on it. Let's vote it down. Let's allow staff to do what they've already done, use the language to define locally serving business, and then direct staff to draft something that we can more, in a more contemplative way, consider for not only this neighborhood, but other neighborhoods that is more balanced. I am, aside from my position on this particular issue, I am very much opposed on the fly this council sitting up here and drafting something with that I administer, quite frankly, that I'm stuck with administering. And I'm just expressing to you on behalf of the Bureau of Development Services, I think probably a unanimous feeling that this is good language. We administer this code all the time. This gives us some tools that we've never had before to make sure that the right businesses go in that you want, Linda, in your neighborhood, and the wrong businesses stay out. Because I will tell you this, be careful what you ask for, because you're on the verge of getting it. Okay. And I would just say that I think I'm doing Stan and others a favor by taking this position, because God help us all if a Home Depot ends up anywhere on Division as a result of this action today, and the neighbors find not only do they not get a Gold's Gym, they have a Home Depot or some other big box for it, which this language would allow.
Okay. All points well stated. What I'd like, with the permission of counsel, what I'd like you to do is, well, first off, Carla, we do not have a 2 o'clock this afternoon, correct?
That's correct.
We do not have a 2 o'clock, so I'd like staff to go off and work on some language. I'd like to continue this item to the end of our agenda today. Council can look at what you've come up with within the next hour and a few minutes. If they feel comfortable with the language that you came up with, they can choose to approve it. If they're not, then we'll continue this hearing further out. If you're happy to come forward, you have to speak into the microphone.
Sorry. Stan Amy, I just wanted to suggest that on the question of input, an alternative might be to put into the code the requirement that the developer follow the city's adopted neighborhood input policy, and then allow the city to take into full consideration what a meaningful input process would be, and take...
What do you mean by the adopted neighborhood input process?
I'm suggesting the city should create create a neighborhood input policy, since we've heard in your comments and in Linda's that there are other situations in which what input means and what the process for that is unclear. Then if you want a deliberative process to establish a meaningful input process, short of an appeal process, an alternative to that, but that is still meaningful, then you could essentially take your action on this and create a separate environment for you to deliberate on that and develop a process that you are happy with. That's just a suggestion.
I appreciate the suggestion.
My
advice is that we come up with something for this specific issue, and it can be replaced by future deliberations on an overall policy. I do think the multifamily housing notification or the lack of it and input is also something that needs to be addressed. That can be done on a macro level, but if we can get council to agree on better input protocols on this particular neighborhood plan, we should do that as well. Commissioner Leonard.
I'm going to be really clear, Mr. Amy, that does not reflect what it is that I want, because and you said all the things that were that I think truly reflect what you think, but I want to be clear to everybody here what that means. You want to have whatever process we create, as long as after you meet with the neighborhoods and they don't like what you do, they cannot appeal what you're going to build. Isn't that correct?
Are you trying to impute my motives?
I'm asking you a question. If asking you a question about what you intend to do, impugn your motives, I guess.
It is possible to ask a question with that intention. I'm asking you, is that your intention?
I'm asking you a question.
And I'm asking you one.
All right. Take the chair's prerogative and call a timeout. Unless there are objections on council, I'm going to have staff go off and write. But would you like to testify? I'm sorry, the procedure is to talk into the mic. If you could give us your name, and you have a few minutes.
My name is Michelle Wong, and I'm directly affected by this vacant building. I have a business and a building across the street that I spent basically all of my savings to build. That place is dark, it's dirty, there's crime, there's graffiti. I don't know if you ever drive down that street. I grew up in Portland. I grew up on that street. It is the worst it has ever been in the last 40 years. I'm not trying to save my own business. Well, yeah, I am, and my 6 employees' jobs. It's awful there. I'm not a zoning expert. I know the people that are trying to stop it is the Princeys. It's a joke. They're afraid of the competition. I would welcome Starbucks across the street. I'm sorry, I would not stop them. We have no foot traffic. Nobody walks down that street. It's getting dirty. My million-dollar building that I spent my whole life trying to build is being devalued by that building across the street. All the other neighbors are letting their properties go down because there's graffiti, there's garbage, there's crime. I don't still understand why it has taken so long. And you know what? He's going to give up. Stan Amy's going to give up. They're going to tear down that building. Portland is not a sustainable building city. They're going to tear it down. And you know what? I would welcome Home Depot, anything.
Well, I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us today. I just want to, I'm going to cut off further comments until we get some language back. I just want to make it really clear that regardless of your point of view on this issue, I mean, everyone has the best of intentions in terms of making improvements for this part of town. So there's no, I don't think there's any intended or unintended questioning of folks' motives. So unless council objects, I'd ask staff to go off and work on some language, come back with something in writing within the next hour. And I'm going to push us on to the regular agenda, which is agenda. We're going to continue this item, push us on to agenda item number 14. Carla, would you please read the title? Mm-hmm.
Direct city offices and bureaus to implement steps to improve the city that works.
All right. I'm very excited to join with my colleagues today to begin the process of improving the city that works with a strategic plan baseline that is going to be very concrete, that integrates the service and improvement work plans with the service efforts and accomplishments report, and integrates that yet again with the budget. We're also restructuring the establishing the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, refocusing the Bureau, creating a new Bureau of Housing, and focusing the Portland Development Commission on development and jobs and economic health of the city, establish the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, consolidate all development permitting into the Bureau of Development Services, and improve the delivery of direct services with the feasibility of creating a one-stop service center inspired by the service center that I'm personally familiar with in Eugene, Oregon. We have a number of amendments. Maybe it would be useful if the council is willing to go ahead and call the, just read the titles of all the related council calendar items. We'll sort of take the amendments individually, but if there's any testimony, we'll take testimony on the whole package at once. Carla, could you call the rest of the items? So 15 and 16 and 17.
Okay. 15, 16, and 17. 15, merge the Bureau of Planning and the Office of Sustainable Development into the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Item 16, transition appropriate budget functions and staff from the Bureau of Housing and Community Development and the Portland Development Commission and create the Portland Housing Bureau. 17, establish the Office of Healthy Working Rivers.
Susan, if you could come up on item number 15 and just give us a quick snapshot of what you're doing and your plans are in terms of moving forward the merger of the Office of Sustainable Development and the Bureau of Planning into the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We're all still getting used to the new title.
Me too. Susan Anderson, soon to be director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm very pleased with this opportunity to take the principles of sustainability and take them much further than we've gone in the past, being able to integrate it into the day-to-day activities of the city and the day-to-day planning of the city. Steps have been taken to begin that merger, and we look forward to working with all the other bureaus in terms of taking next steps. If you want more specifics, we can do that later.
How about be available to answer any questions from anybody? Thank you. Commissioner Fritz, do you want to give a brief overview on item number 17 as we get Kate for item number 16?
Well, we're establishing a new office to deal with the Columbia and Willamette Rivers, and we're wanting council's authority to figure out exactly what that means. And I'll be leading that in collaboration with Mayor Adams in your office and with Commissioner Saltzman, working very closely with Planning and Sustainability and with Environmental Services.
And I was really excited that when I floated this idea to Commissioner Fritz, one of the first things you said was, well, let's include the Columbia, which has really been a, we've done virtually nothing on the Columbia. So I really think that's a great addition to the city's efforts.
Just for those who have commented on the name, we are open to taking more suggestions if you have better ones.
I kind of like the name.
My intent in calling it Healthy Working was to reflect both the need for restoration and the ecological values of the rivers, and also that it's they are industrial rivers. They have industrial uses adjacent to them, Superfund sites, harbor sites, that it reflects what it is that we're hoping to address and planning to address in this new office.
And Commissioner Leonard, can you give us sort of an overview of, even though we don't have a specific ordinance today, an overview of sort of how it's going on the bringing together all the permitting under the Bureau of Development Services?
Yes. I actually have Paul Scarlett here. He's not in the room right now, unfortunately. But the effort is to consolidate all of the various, if you could ask Paul to come in here. To consolidate all the various places one needs to go to get a permit, which includes up to 7 different places. So if you want to add a room onto your house, you may get your approval at the Bureau of Development Services, but that leaves the Bureau of Environmental Services, that leaves the Bureau of Transportation, and so on, to get approvals. It is, again, as the one who has to administer the system, we oftentimes get complaints about permit approvals. And oftentimes they're the Bureau of Development Services, oftentimes they're not. And we have little ability to figure out why a problem exists, in addition to the fact that the other permitting entities are in different locations. And it is very confusing and actually unique to the city of Portland that we treat permitting that way. So Paul is here to describe in further detail.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Paul Scarlett, Director, Bureau of Development Services. I'm with Andy Peterson, who's the permitting and plan review manager for the Bureau, one of the divisions. And we have been, since the announcement of moving forward with a consolidated permitting program, have been very focused on working closely with the other bureaus, interagency bureaus, in identifying the members who can be at the table to create a transition team and really focus on how we can capitalize on the good things that's already in place and improve upon areas that have for some time some weaknesses and could be improved upon. And we are also looking at putting together an oversight team to bounce those ideas in terms of where we're going and making sure we haven't missed any opportunities. But we're very excited about this assignment. I am fully confident and excited that we will come back with a plan that is reflective of the goals of the council and of the city in terms of having a development review and inspections process that is comprehensive, attractive, seamless, and reasonable and practical. And so over the next period of, 45 days, we're very focus on having productive meetings, and we have the commitment and I would say the energy so far expressed that, you know, this will be a pretty involved process.
You should describe for the council some of the stakeholders that you've asked to participate in this oversight transition group, beyond city people, but.
Yes, the oversight committee, we are looking at outside stakeholders, and thus far I've made contact with Mike Houck, who is with, I believe, the watershed. So we've got environmental interests. We've got development interests, as in large development, small business, housing, neighborhood.
The Audubon Society.
Audubon Society, Bob Salinger, I believe.
Oh, and, he's very good. He's very good.
Dennis Wild from Edlin. And so we're mimicking, to some degree, what's been a very solid and beneficial advisory committee that's been in place, and it's a development review advisory committee. And that committee has over the last 10 years or so, really giving us some good input on programs, our budget, some of the new activities that we have introduced to the community to tie in with our goals of providing excellent customer service, make sure our programs and services are efficient and effective, and technology, and keeping pace with changes. So I think this is something that certainly we've been talking about this for the last 10 years or so, and this time feels right. There's a lot of good energy. There are actually a lot of things that are in place. Andy actually works with interagency partners on a biweekly basis, call a meeting called SWAT, where we meet and talk about the different interactions that's occurring with development review process. And so we can build off of those things.
Andy, anything you want to say?
Well, I just think that our opportunity.
What's your last name?
Peterson, Andy Peterson. The opportunity here is to really build upon the efficiencies and effectiveness that we've had over the course of the last many years in the plan review and development process, stretch those further to encompass the other bureaus as well, and really create a seamless delivery of what the services can be for the city as a whole.
Well, having Bureau of Transportation and the Bureau of Environmental Services for the past 3.5 years, which have significant, as you mentioned, Commissioner Leonard, significant review responsibilities outside but in partnership with BDS. Mm-hmm. I can tell you my efforts to improve the development permitting functions of those departments have been an abject failure. And it's not because of the people. We have really good people involved in those sections of BS and PDOT. I got firsthand experience that and it's not that I didn't focus on it. It's not that we didn't work with the community on it. It's that the system is what was dysfunctional. And so I really want to thank you, Commissioner Leonard. This is thankless, and Paul and Andy and the whole team. I mean, this is
acknowledging that.
This is thankless work. And
challenge.
I have a quick question.
Well, this is thankless work, and we easily forget that because you have made significant improvements, and in many ways you've made the improvements easy from the outside, but I know you've had to work really hard, and so it's with that confidence that we as a council are assigning you this test, so thank you.
Thank you very much. It's nice.
And I'm just assuming that you're involving the Development Review Advisory Committee and neighborhood associations and business association representatives in figuring this out.
Yes, we will. We will coordinate with all of our existing committees. That's been very helpful over the years, giving us good advice and input.
Thank you.
Correct. And if you wondered why I might have been as passionate as I have been the last three hearings on this division issue, it's really, really, thank you for saying what you did, Mayor Adams. You know, as Andy will attest to, the things I said are just kind of like my little part of what he deals with every day. And it is so frustrating for the staff to have to look at well-intentioned, very hardworking community leaders and say, sorry, that's what the code allows. And so I greatly appreciate the work you guys do. And if I don't say that enough, I'm sorry for that. But you guys do I see it, not everybody else does, but I know on a day-to-day basis how hard you work to balance interests, how hard you work to make sure processes are fair. And when it's time to, bring all of these different groups together, I know you'll do it in a very judicious and fair manner that whatever angst exists, they'll quickly overcome. It's a fabulous place to work. The employees are doing a great job. It's a great atmosphere, and I attribute that all to the work you and Andy do.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
If it's okay with the council, I'd like to sort of focus on the housing PDC efforts. And Commissioner Fish, could you? So thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner
thank
Fish,
you.
If,
thank you.
If you could start with an overview, and maybe have Kate and
I'd like
Keith.
To call Kate Allen and
Keith come up.
And Keith from PDC up. Kate is the housing policy coordinator for the City of Portland. And Keith, what's your new title, your current title?
Zara.
Ones that you can
Government
say.
Relations Director.
Okay. That title does not do you
yes,
justice.
That doesn't do him justice.
No.
Either does mayor for you.
Wait a second.
Nice.
Wait a second. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
Is there some
we will go further.
Is there
down
some parliamentary objection?
Zara Adams.
So, what is this with the czar thing?
Well, Mayor, I want to begin and take a page from what other people have said earlier, and thank you for your leadership on breaking a logjam. I think Paul eloquently said earlier that this there had been a conversation for over 10 years about consolidating certain permitting functions, but it took political will. It took you and it took Commissioner Leonard to break the logjam, and now it's up to Commissioner Leonard and Paul to deliver on that, and it is thankless work. And I think there's a interesting similarity to what we're going to introduce here on the housing world. For over 10 years, well-intentioned people in the housing community have been talking about the promise of new alignment, of taking the disparate pieces, all the people doing great work, and aligning them and harnessing the resources in ways that deliver a better product for the people we serve. Because, by the way, we don't talk about reforming government and changing structure because we hope to get an award at some government wonk committee. We do it because, as you remind us regularly, it delivers a better service to the people, to the customers and the people we serve. And when we and what we have proposed, the mayor and I have proposed, is to bring the great talent that exists in the Bureau of Housing and Community Development on the housing side, and to merge it in a new bureau with the great talent and treasure of the Portland Development Commission that's been working on housing issues for a long time, and in effect create a new powerhouse bureau that is strictly focused on housing. And when we talk about housing, let's be clear, we are talking about the young family with kids that wants to stay in this city because they want to take advantage of our great school system, and we're also talking about the homeless individual that deserves a fresh start in life. We're talking about the whole spectrum. To accomplish this ambitious goal, Keith and Kate and a wonderful group of stakeholders have come together. This is going to be very complicated. There's a lot of legal issues. There are labor issues. There are practical issues. There are funding issues. There are historical issues. But as I introduce Kate, I want to tell you that as I've gotten to know the professionals at the Bureau of Housing and Community Development, and I've gotten to know their counterparts at PDC, I could not be more excited about bringing these people together under one roof and the possibilities for what we can deliver for the city of Portland. So I thank you for your leadership on this. And Kate, would you like to make a couple of remarks?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. Really good to be here from my relatively recent tenure as the housing policy manager in Commissioner Fish's office, but close to 20 years working within the affordable housing delivery system in the city of Portland. And so it is a complete privilege to sit in the chair that I sit in now, able to manage that change.
Could you give a, just for those that might be listening in, it's probably Tom and Vera now, right?
Tom and Vera, yeah.
You're Tom and Vera. quick background on when you say you've been involved in these issues. What have you been doing?
I went to work for the Portland Development Commission in 1990 and worked at PDC from 90 to 94 at the beginning of what might be referred to or recalled as the launch of the Downtown Housing Preservation Partnership, which affected the rehab of the city's SRO, single-room occupancy hotels in Old Town. The partnership, unique at that time, brought together the primary provider, Central City Concern, and the Housing Authority of Portland, along with the city's Chamber of Commerce and the leadership of mayor and commissioners in the city at that time. And our charge in the DHPP section at PDC really was to take on this new animal called tax increment or low-income housing tax credit financing and put it to work in some of the hardest housing that there was to create, which is SRO housing for very low income. We learned a lot. I think we actually officially wrote some of the regulation that guides use of low-income housing tax credits in that type of housing and deeply service-enriched housing at the time. I appreciated that experience and had a successful housing development consulting business for about 7 years, Housing Partners, and then a brief stint in the private sector, and then the last 6 years as the director of Enterprise Community Partners, formerly Enterprise Foundation, working in Oregon and Southwest Washington on issues of affordable housing and community development and opportunity for low-income people to move up and out of their situation of poverty.
Well, I will just tell you, we're very lucky to have you in this role, and you were the unanimous choice of a panel that we put together to select the very best person in our community, and I was pleasantly surprised that you accepted our offer. So, Kate, is there anything you want to add to just the description of the process very briefly?
I think we can, the ordinance that's before you and the amendment, I appreciated the opportunity to work closely with Mayor Adams' staff on putting that together. We felt like there are many things being sorted out currently, and it's almost day by day we get a clearer picture of how this transition and formation of a new bureau will emerge, and it's just gets better and better. But really aiming towards as moving as quickly as possible, getting work groups thinking about the whole range of issues that include both city professional staff as well as PDC and BHCD staff, really beginning to model what it is to work in a new Portland Housing Bureau. And so the formation by this ordinance of the new bureau structure, and then an ability to bring more and more of our dialogue with the community and with our other stakeholders in the city into Commissioner Fish's new vision.
And if I could just clarify, so this amendment would essentially authorize the creation of a Bureau of Housing. I neglected to mention earlier that our very innovative economic opportunity initiative will be migrating to Portland Development Commission, where it will be merged with the core economic development mission of that agency. And under the ordinance we'll be voting on, we're on a 45-day clock to come back to the council with a roadmap of how we make this thing happen. There's a parallel track which the Portland Development Commission will be going through to seek authorization for its changes. And so what we're doing today is just get authorization to launch our piece.
And on that note, Keith, do you want to give us a quick overview of the work underway to both transition housing out and also to bring the community economic development in?
Sure. In terms of the transitioning housing out, we're working with and through Commissioner Fish's office under Kate's lead. And I think you accurately talked about where we're at with that piece. We see it, just to back up for 1 second, that, you know, housing, the people work on housing at PDC are a really important part of our family and will be a part of our extended family as we move forward. I think that the direction you provided us, Mayor Adams, to focus more surgically on jobs and the economy is perfectly complemented by bringing over the community economic development piece from BHCD. We'll be meeting with your staff, with Kimberly Schneider, who's kind of the transition manager for that piece, and that group today to begin to get an understanding of where those resources are going, what they're focused on, and we can then integrate that into our emerging focus on community economic development as we reform ourselves as well, and with that kind of a focus. So we can provide more updates in the future, but that piece is just beginning.
Excellent. Any discussion from council on this piece? Thank you. Andrew, could you come up and give us a brief overview on the other pieces regarding the Bureau baseline reports and the service program and improvement work plans that really, I guess, come into play as we get deeper into the budget process, and the just sort of how we doing on the budget process thus far?
Sure. I'm Andrew Scott with the Office of Management and Finance. In terms of the Bureau baseline reports, that's something that we have sent out to the bureaus now, and with a memo from Council, they're working on that, and that is actually due back with the Bureau budget request, which is going to be on February 2nd. So I've got the budget team, the financial analysts, working with bureaus to sort of help answer their questions and so forth. But it's a new process, but it's intended to replace some of the existing information bureaus already provide in the budget in terms of narrative, but consolidate it a little bit more and get it into a little bit easier, more accessible format, as well as make it a little bit more robust. So bureaus are working on that for February 2nd. And then also there's the service and performance improvement plans, which we're still working out some of the details on. That's going to be due, we're actually timing it with the 45-day timeline in terms of what bureaus are coming back to with these plans. So the idea there is that bureaus from the information they put on their baseline templates will then have a little bit of an assessment of where they are, and then they're going to need to put some thought and effort into where they should be going. And that's what those plans are going to entail. And we're still working out some of the details on what bureaus will need to put together for those, but that'll be due a little bit later in February, but in time for council to take into consideration during the budget process. Overall, in terms of the budget process, bureaus should be well into their planning stages now. As I mentioned, the budget requests are due on February 2nd. So most bureaus have been asked to put together 2.5% and 5% budget cuts for this coming year. Most of them, and they're also working with their budget advisory councils or budget advisory committees, which include management and labor, as well as their external and internal stakeholders. So they should be well into that process and probably wrapping up by mid to late January in order to get everything sort of finalized and get it submitted.
If I could just say for someone who's watching this or reading about this later, just a clarification in terms of our process,
sure.
Because we're starting to get inundated with emails from people mm-hmm. saying, I've heard you're going to cut this, or why is this being cut? And I think it's very important that, and as I'm learning, in a budget process, you have to anticipate contingencies. You have to plan for the future. So we have, in fact, been asked to identify possible savings.
Yep.
They are savings that are possible. And in order for them to become savings, the council would have to agree with a recommendation. There's a lengthy process which culminates in the mayor's budget and the council coming back and reviewing it and making changes. So I just want to say to the public, it's important that you weigh in and advocate for your programs and let us know what's important and to participate and help us do our job. But we don't make any decisions for many months. And therefore, at this point, it's just contingency planning. And the fact that any particular program has been identified for a possible cut doesn't mean that we aren't committed to it. The commissioner in charge isn't committed to that program or the council. It just means that it may be among a range of options that the council will consider.
And I, as you get a lot of these kinds of questions, if I would be worried if I didn't start hearing concerns about parks services and precinct open and closed issues. I mean, there should be no sacred cows. I mean, we set up the bureau management, labor, outside stakeholder process to look at everything. And we have to make cuts, so it's a question of what degree of quality will our cuts be. But we have to make cuts. So I think reinforcing when people have concerns to get involved in the process, in the public outreach process on the budget. I understand the communication outreach folks have been working on that. We'll come back to us with a specific proposal, but there cannot be at this point in the process any sacred cows.
Well, I appreciate both of those comments, and because of that, I need to make an observation. I'm real clear with the bureaus that I'm responsible for that any communications relative to the budget or cuts must be with the public must be approved by my office. That's clear to me, not the protocol in each of the bureaus. And if you would like more specifics after the council, I'm glad to share that with you. But for bureau heads to specifically contact neighborhood groups and have them be requested to contact the council, I have raised this as an issue specifically with other bureau heads in the past. Again, I'm happy to share that with you afterwards, is inappropriate. And it's happening as we speak.
So one of the things that I want to do is to help citizens know who to talk to at the appropriate times. And so on my website, I'm going to have the coming down the pike issues of where people can most appropriately participate right now. So actually right now, sending all of us emails is not the most useful way that citizens can spend their time. Going to or participating in the budget committee meetings is the most helpful way. So if you would all like to have all of your bureaus send me the information about when your next budget meeting is, I can help through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement get that information out.
Maybe we could make that easier for you. And why doesn't OMF ask the bureaus to provide you with the information which
Even
we
better.
Can send to you?
Lovely.
And so it's all in one place.
Thank you.
Because it's really inspiring how people do want to help participate,
yep.
and not just don't cut my program, but rather how can we understand this whole big picture.
Okay, we've got some commissioning to do here in terms of making some amendments. Are we ready to sort of go through? one by one. But before I do that, we should probably take testimony. Carla, has anyone signed up for any of these council calendar items? Thank you, Commissioner.
One person signed up, Nola Rathburn. I don't know if she's still here.
Anyone in the room that would like to testify? Richard, coming up.
My name is Richard Elmire, and I would like to speak to the housing piece. First, I'd like to remind Commissioner Fish, who said that mentioned the people we serve, and I wanted to make sure that he and the council understood that the people you serve are also taxpayers, property owners, business owners in every neighborhood. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the undercurrent of what's going on. Those are also the people that you serve, the taxpayers who pay the bills, that pay for all of this. It's important to keep them in mind in any decision-making that you make. I'd also like to suggest, and I've written this down, that when the Bureau of Housing, when you put it together, that you consider creating two divisions, the division of public housing and the division of affordable housing. They are very, very different. And this council and the press very often confuses the public using those two names, those two terms often interchangeably, and they are not interchangeable. Public housing involves the government and is totally involved in government. It requires a means test, it requires government subsidy and a rental agreement. Affordable housing can be almost anything, and as described by the Portland Tribune, affordable housing is a $1.3 million house in the West Hills that is affordable by former Commissioner Eric Sten. That is not affordable by most people who are HAP clients. So I think I've been writing about this for about 8 years now. It's very important for people to understand the difference. When you're talking about public housing, you have total and complete control, you being the government. Affordable housing, and I support both of them, but I think it's very important that we all use the language correctly and make sure that when we're talking about public housing, that we use that term when we talk about affordable housing, which may have nothing to do. You can have affordable housing that has nothing to do with any of you. So I think that would be a good way to organize your bureau and keep it clear and definitive from who you're talking to, which constituencies you're trying to help, and where the money's coming from. Finally, also in that, just before the city took over the responsibility from PDC, the ICARAC sent a letter which was supported by about half a dozen citizen groups, which asked ICARAC, and I believe it was mentioned earlier, that's the Interstate Corridor Urban Renewal Area Advisory Committee, asked PDC to stop using new 30% set-aside money or any other new monies to build public housing in the Portsmouth neighborhood. This has been supported by about a half a dozen other neighborhood groups and business groups, and I would ask that now that you have control of those staff and those funds, that request is now shifted over to your bureau, and that we will write another letter if necessary, but you should understand that that same request now follows the fact that you have the money and the staff.
Thank you, Richard. Anyone else in the room that did not sign up that would like to testify? If not, I think we can consider item 14 with, it has no amendments to it. It's the overarching resolution. Unless there is council discussion, Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, this cannot go without comment. I mean, these are hugely impactful changes that I certainly recognize. And I neglected to even talk about the one-stop service center is a wonderful vision that Mayor Adams has that I think all by itself is worthy of praise. But with the various directions that this gives, I think it really, truly does, from my perspective, make Portland a more efficient and coordinated city for all. So I really appreciate these thoughtful changes. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. It sounds like a...
Don't break that.
Is that the historic gavel, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that the...
He broke it, man.
I'm sorry. I'll use the phone again.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right. Do we have, I don't believe we have any amendments to item number 15. Is that your understanding, Carla?
That's mine.
Okay. And unless there is any further council discussion, call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Well, again, I mean, I think you have to acknowledge the merging of the Office of Sustainability, which I will tell you behind the scenes, there were a number of us fighting to get, and which speaks so well to Dan's vision and creation of what was truly a visionary organization in the city, including its director. Each of us would have been honored to have that assigned to us. So that really speaks well to Commissioner Saltzman's vision and hiring of Susan Anderson. But I don't think any of us really anticipated this merger before Commissioner Adams announced it. And it's really a great idea. I mean, it's something that makes, I think, sustainability on par now with developing our city, as opposed to being just some disparate entity that we look to for innovative ideas. It actually integrates planning with sustainability, which is, again, Mayor Adams, a great vision that you had. So I'm, again, very anxious to support this and look forward to what I know is going to be great work coming out of this new office. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and I, too, want to say that you know, it's nice to think back to, I believe it was the year 2000, and I was relatively a new commissioner and came up with this idea of forming more of a focus within city government on sustainability. And it wasn't without its growing pains. It wasn't without some of its chafing bureaus the wrong way. But I think over time, and that's largely due to having a great director in place like Susan Anderson, it's overcome a lot of those tensions. And it's really established its preeminence, not only throughout the country, but really in the city of Portland as a focal point, again, for sustainable development, jobs related to the green economy, green building, an outstanding solid waste and recycling program. And I think it's a next logical step for it to become linked with planning. And I think this new bureau will serve all of the citizens well, and it will serve our economy well, and it will serve our environment well. So I'm really pleased, and I want to thank everybody who I've had the chance to work with over the last 8 or 9 years at the Sustainable Development Office, including Susan Anderson again and its leadership. They've done a great job, and they're great people, and I'm pleased to support this. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I remember that City Club speech you gave where you had Kermit the Frog on the podium. And the City Club members were bemused, I think. But that was around the same time that you were putting together the Office of Sustainable Development. I was in that meeting when you came to visit Mayor Vera Katz, and you wanted to use the responsibilities, a portion of the responsibilities that you had for oversight of the trash franchise collection system, and really try to get value out of that. And you've done amazing work here. And I have to admit that I contemplated this change because I thought it was the right thing to do, but I was very sort of tender-footed about it because I was afraid of how you would react since this was your baby. And once again, you just shown yourself to be the selfless public servant that you were. This is a great idea, and let's go for it. So I really want to thank you for that great response.
Thanks.
Aye. Now we have item number 16 and amendment. Is that correct? Okay. Commissioner Fish, any discussion of the amendment on your part?
Okay. It's just straightforward. It allows us to move forward.
All right. No further discussion of the amendment. Let's be voting on amendment to item number 16. Do you need to read the title again? Oh, I'm sorry. Amendments need to. Do I hear a motion to?
So move.
Second.
Second.
Unless there are objection, can I do this to say unless there are objections, amendment is approved? Or do I have to have a vote? Okay. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Well, this is going to be an extremely challenging process, working under a timeline that's punishing with two bureaus and lots of culture and history and laws that apply. But as challenging as the birthing is going to be of this, I think the new Bureau of Housing is going to be one of our singular achievements in terms of restructuring. And what I'm also excited about with the consolidation of permitting under Commissioner Leonard and his leadership is that I think there are a wealth of new opportunities for both the Bureau of Housing and BDS to work together and to find further efficiencies and collaborations. So I think this is the beginning of a process that is going to have a logic of its own and take us forward. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz?
I'm going to defer to my colleagues, Commissioner Fish. I'm doing it myself now. Everybody's going to mess up our names. And Mayor Adams in determining that this is the correct and the best way to go. I also want to acknowledge the great work that's been done in the Bureau of Housing and Community Development and in the Portland Development Commission and the citizens who worked on the CLEC study and have been looking at different ways to do things in housing. And so we certainly want to continue to build on that work rather than tossing it aside. And I know that's the intent of both Commissioner Fish and Mayor Adams and indeed of the entire council is to make this work better for the people who need our help in providing the basic service of housing. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I wouldn't have done this, Commissioner Fish, if you specifically were not here on the council to provide what assign this to. This is very difficult, and one of the reasons that it hasn't been done before this time is because of all the sort of technical difficulties of making what is, I think, a common sense amendment. But you bring to this both expertise and a sort of a fresh outsider's approach to it, and that's why I feel so confident that as difficult as this will be and is, that you'll pull it off. So thank you for taking this on.
Thank you.
Aye.
Now I have to vote on the actual order.
Yep. Please call the roll call on item 16.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. That gets us to item 17. Do I hear a motion for an amendment?
I move the amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Please call the roll on the amendment on item 17.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
This just clarifies exactly who's going to do what. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Good clarification. Aye. Now let's vote on item number 17.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
I'm very excited to be the who is going to do what in this, in terms of leading it and making sure that there's good collaboration between all of the partners that need to be involved. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, I think it's great that we're going to have on the City Council a person in charge of the river. I'm excited that you're going to be doing it. Aye. All right. That gets us through Council Item 18. Please read the title.
Implement improvements to the Downspout Disconnect Program and establish administrative rules.
Andrew? Yeah, Andrew, could you do me a big favor and try to find where our Bureau of Planning people went? Oh, thanks. I'll take care of it. So you'll get out the email to all the bureaus, and we'll get it to Amanda. Thanks. All right. The second reading, vote only, on Council Item Number 18. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We'll take a 5-minute recess, 10-minute recess while we gather up our staff and be back here at 40 past the hour.
What are we doing at 11:45? I thought you were doing it at 2.
We don't have a 2.
We don't have a 2. Two's
been canceled.
2's been canceled. Yeah, that's why.
Oh, so we can't. But we could continue at 2.
I think because we canceled it, people have... I have to go out and deal with flood issues at 2. So, 10 minutes.
So I think we ought to postpone it till next week.
10 minutes. I like your determination. I like your perseverance. I'm going. Do you have an.
Yes.
Huh?
It's because the college would never surrender.
Exactly.
Do you.
I've never played a board game with this guy.
Randy?
He's an apple. Oh, yeah.
This is. I've got to go out to Johnson Creek, too. So, by the way, that reminds me.
Yes.
Mayor Adams and I have actually discussed about, you know, mixing it up a little bit. Since
nobody wants to sit next to you. That's the problem.
That's what I'm getting.
I'm going to take a point of privilege of the chair, and I'm pleased today to announce, and this is one of my major announcements as mayor, that we now have a representative of the city of Portland in Leeds, England, and I'm appointing the ambassador from the city of Portland to the great township of Leeds, England, and it's Ms. Pam Jones. If you'd please come forward so we can say hello and knight you appropriately. Now, it's odd that of all the cities in the world that we would pick Leeds, England, for our first volunteer ambassadorship, but I've heard such great things. I think it's in our best interest, and I thought maybe you could say a few words of more of who you are and why you might be in Portland.
Thank you. I don't think I shall take 3 minutes. Obviously, I'm very proud.
I have to say your name, for the record.
Pamela Jones from Leeds, England. Yes. Very proud of Amanda, of course.
Is there a connection?
And why is that?
Oh, I didn't know there was a connection. Is there a connection?
Why aren't you equally proud of all of us?
Why aren't you proud of me?
Okay.
We're teasing.
My middle child, Amanda. Yes. And I'm very honored and fascinated to be here watching democracy work. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, all.
Thank you for being here.
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
I am a middle child.
You're a what?
I'm a middle child. But I'm curious.
Three.
Oh, so she's truly a middle child.
She's a middle child.
I come from a family of four children, so I used to push back a little bit.
Right.
I was a
no, no.
They call that schizophrenia.
No, she has an elder brother and a younger sister.
Well, I was actually never the middle child. I was the older daughter.
Nice.
We are delighted to be working with Amanda, so congratulations to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, is staff ready? Okay, come on up, Eric.
We have copies coming. I have one copy with me right now. So
you need more time?
Why don't you talk
through
the
concept? We could postpone 2 weeks, a month.
One copy is sufficient.
Your office ran out of paper for a moment. So
mine did?
They didn't run out. They lost it. It was sabotage.
They have taken it.
We have lots of paper in our office locked up.
The gavel's gone. The paper's gone. Why don't you quickly walk us through as we get copies?
Okay. The concept is you have the original proposal, I believe, but the concept is to add a requirement that for provision buildings taking advantage of this provision, the total floor area of the building can't be more than 120% of the floor area that existed at that date that this went into effect. So that would cap the amount of the increase the building could be expanded and still use this provision.
As a practical matter, what does that mean for this building? Does that mean
it works for this building because it's
It's already the size. The building's already almost 30,000 square feet.
If you're looking at, say, the Rite Aid site at 39th, conceptually, this would still allow a small expansion of that building to use this, but it wouldn't be a full second floor or third floor and still be able to use this provision. We added in the existing neighborhood contact requirement to the proposal but then also added a requirement that the applicant, if they're using this provision, make an advisory presentation to City Council, which would give a little bit more weight to the typical neighborhood contact requirement. It doesn't yet. We're awaiting copies to come down.
What would it take to have that?
No, I think you got copies. It should be.
Oh, is it coming now?
It should be item D4.
Okay. It's 2B4.
B4.
B4.
Oh, yeah, under D. D2B4.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
What would the council sense be?